Welcome to Kingston Reid's Word to the Wise podcast series for HR and safety professionals.
Hello and welcome to the latest instalment of Kingston Reid's A Word to the Wise podcast series. I'm Shelley Williams, partner in our Brisbane office, and I'm joined today by Sophie Bartz, Senior Associate. Hello, Sophie. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Shelley. Looking forward to talking all things election with you.
That's right. And in today's podcast, we're going to be talking through the upcoming federal election from an industrial relations perspective and what we know about the policies of the major parties, the Greens and the Independents. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announced that Australians will be heading to the polls on the 3rd of May this year, kicking off a 5-week election campaign against opposition leader Peter Dutton. We're 2 weeks into the federal election campaign, and it's been a somewhat unexpected start to the campaign. Early predictions were really that this year's campaign would be centred around the cost of living and the inflationary pressures that the Labor government hasn't quite been able to shake. But 2 weeks in, and we've seen the campaign become about the coalition's mandate to get public sector workers back to the office full time, and the ALP has also, as part of its budgetary announcement, unsurprisingly revealed that it would ban non-competes for workers who earn under the high income threshold. So what we're seeing is that Australian politicians just can't keep themselves away from industrial relations, and we're back here again. The Minister Murray Watt for the ALP has repeatedly suggested that any future IR reforms by the current government are likely to be very limited. And that's obviously off the back of a very, very significant industrial relations reform agenda that's really existed for the last 3 or 4 years. The LNP has sort of indicated that it's going to be more responding to the ALP government. And so the focus hasn't been as significant, and much of what we're seeing is more of a response. So today's podcast is really just going to be a quick snapshot for you of the major parties' policy agendas and what we are expecting. And obviously, as we continue through the election campaign, we'll continue to keep you across those changes. But Sophie, on that note, do you want to run us through the ALP's policies and what we know so far?
Absolutely. Thanks, Shelley. The most prominent IR policy of the ALP was announced in the government's budget delivered last month. And as you say, Shelley, that was in relation to the fact that post-employment non-compete terms would no longer be enforceable for employees earning under the high income threshold. That threshold is adjusted annually, and as you know, at the moment, it is sitting at $175,000 per annum. The justification for this change is that it will boost wages, productivity, and innovation by allowing greater job mobility. At this stage, it relates only to restrictions on an employee gaining employment in a competing business, but there is also some indication that further changes could also apply to the non-poaching restrictions in the future.
And what's the policy basis for this announcement?
The policy basis is the uptick in the use of restraints in employment contracts for lower paid workers, such as childcare workers and hairdressers. That said, while the clauses are definitely common in those contracts, there are actually very few examples of a clause relating to such workers actually being enforced. Aside from this policy, the union movement has called for a portable long service leave scheme that would replace the current scheme that applies to the majority of workers in Australia and requires a period of service to a particular company. The portable scheme already exists in some sectors like construction, and so some employers will be very familiar with the scheme. It effectively means an employee's accrual of long service leave will follow them to new employers. Under the scheme, companies would pay into an employee's account, similar to the way that superannuation contributions work. The union movement has also called for a requirement that all enterprise agreement have union engagement end coverage and for an increase in the ability of the union to initiate bargaining. They've also submitted for the removal of the limitation, a removal or limitation on the ability for employers to engage in lockout response to employee industrial action. And I think this really has the potential to have a real impact on the bargaining landscape in Australia. And then sort of a final observation in the Secure Jobs Better Pay interim report is that many of the Secure Jobs Better Pay amendments that have been introduced in the current term require a longer period of operation before those impacts can be properly judged. Early indicators are that employees covered by an enterprise agreement has significantly increased since the introduction of these amendments, but there is a recommendation put by the review panel that a further review should be undertaken in another 2 to 3 years once these changes have been implemented for a full bargaining cycle. So, Shelley, what does the LNP have to say?
It's been a bit of a mix in terms of what the coalition government has said. If you sort of look at the coalition government's election agenda, it centres around a couple of things. So one of the big election promises has been halting the growth of the Canberra-based public service, delivering an efficient and responsive public service focused on the needs and priorities of Australians, scrapping symbolic and pointless appointments and programs, cutting red tape in relation to business, particularly in small business and the cost of living pressures, and managing a budget which takes pressure off inflation. Picking up on a couple of those agenda items, Peter Dutton said that he would reduce the headcount in the public sector by 41,000 workers, which was said to be primarily positions based in Canberra. That announcement has created quite significant consequences for the LNP, and there's been a shift and a revocation of that policy proposal and a public apology, which is quite significant. And the position has slightly changed. So he's indicated that the government will now focus on natural attrition to reduce the headcount in the public sector. There's also been a focus more broadly on what the coalition government says are the damaging aspects of Labor's complex industrial relations reforms, including looking or reintroducing the more simple definition of a casual employee. On the point around casual employment, last week Peter Dutton was questioned about whether the coalition government will roll back the Albanese same job, same pay laws. He confirmed that it won't be rolling back those laws, which I think is an interesting development. It was in response to new research from left-wing sort of Mackell Institute, which indicated that the contribution of those new laws to the Australian economy and to wage increases has and will continue to be fairly significant. And those predictions are significantly higher than the original Dewar estimates, which were cited as part of the Closing Loopholes Bill explanatory statement. And so that's an interesting sort of development, sort of how we see coalition government responding to casual employment and to labour hire. The other thing that Peter Dutton said, which I think is quite significant, and it was said in the same context of this press release, was that the big difference between the ALP and an LNP government selection will be that the coalition government will deregister the CFMEU. Now, the CFMEU's obviously been forced into administration, but the coalition government promising to register the CFMEU if it were to be elected is obviously a significant election promise. The coalition government has always focused on union militancy and, you know, finding ways to decrease union involvement, and has spoken quite significantly around the CFMEU administration and the failings of that. So that focus will, it appears, will remain. As part of that focus, the coalition government has also said that it will reintroduce a tougher Australian Building and Construction Commission.
Another.
Yes, I think that would be the fourth ABCC. And so that focus on the construction union and the way that industry is regulated, it appears will be a continued focus for an LNP government if it were to win the election. Sophie, fun fact, John Setgar, the former secretary of the CFMEU, has a new neck tattoo that reads, "God forgives, the CFMEU doesn't." And when he was prompted, he said he won't be voting for either major party, but noted that there are good people in the Greens. So on that note, Sophie, what do the Greens have to say about industrial relations as part of this federal election campaign?
The Greens have really said they will remain focused on their 10 standards, which includes reducing inequality, improving equal opportunity in the labour market, equal pay for equal work, making jobs more secure, giving workers more bargaining power, and giving workers a voice about new technology, including AI. And what about the Teal, Shelley?
There's a fair bit to unpack in the Greens, and I might just make a few comments before I deal with the Teals. They're picking up a lot of some of the themes that the Labor government is picking up in relation to equal pay, the focus on equality measures and reducing inequality. And we've seen recent announcements from the Labor government in relation to ensuring that diversity measures, for example, continue to be the policies within the federal government. So I think that this issue around equality is obviously, it's popping up, and it's very possible that the Greens, you know, it's looking like we would have a potential hung parliament and a minority government. So the Greens' policies are going to be more influential, I think, in the parliament than we might otherwise consider. And we've already seen that with the right to disconnect win that the Greens had as part of the recent round of industrial relations reforms. But Sophie, as you said, turning to the Teals, they don't say a huge amount in terms of industrial relations. But of course, the Teals and the Independents are, again, going to have an influence, particularly if we're in a position of a minority government. What they do say is that the industrial relations has become a political football, and they would like to see award simplification and flexibility. Now, that is a fairly loaded statement and perhaps one that's not necessarily understood in the same way that we do as industrial relations practitioners, because, of course, you know, we've been through many rounds of award modernisation and we all know the complexities of that system. But certainly from a sort of policy perspective, there has been discussions had previously around award simplification in its broader sense. So to sort of start again, not use the current set of awards and to really look at simplifying awards in an entirely different way. So it's possible that the Teals would be looking to push that agenda. And they also focus on small business, so increasing the small business headcount definition from 15 to 25 to essentially see more businesses captured by some of the exclusions in relation to small businesses under the current Fair Work Act regime. We'll obviously be watching with great anticipation over the next 3 weeks of the election campaign and watching it unfold. And we will keep you across those further developments as they happen. And so please stay tuned to the next edition of our podcast, and we'll see you then.